The Last Word, sponsored by 3Business. Take control of your communications with the experts. 3. We speak business.
Welcome back. I'm Angela Flannery, sitting in for Matt Cooper. You can text your comments to 53102, and that's with thanks to Tesco Mobile. Now, do you have ugly varicose veins that you feel ashamed or embarrassed about? Between 20 and 30% of people in Ireland suffer from varicose veins. Well, if you're too self-conscious to wear a skirt or shorts this summer because of your unsightly veins, we're going to take a look at what you can do about them. And to do that, I'm joined by Gavin O'Brien, who is a vascular surgeon at the Mercy Hospital in Cork, and by journalist Laura Byrne, who has had her veins removed. Gavin, if I could go to you first. This is a problem that doesn't just affect women.
No, not at all, Angela. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, look, as you say, typically it affects about a quarter of the adult population, and there are several causes, but predominantly there's a genetic component. Now, traditionally, I guess people have felt that females are affected more, and that's because pregnancy is a big risk factor in developing varicose veins. So, yes, females are affected more, but certainly we're seeing more and more male patients coming forward now.
But are women not more likely to do something about it because they're in skirts and people can see them, whereas men can hide them under their hairy legs?
Well, we're all metrosexual now, Angela. I'm certainly seeing a large percentage of male patients coming through the doors now at this stage.
Mm-hmm. And is it purely cosmetic, Gavin, or is there actually a danger attached to letting them go untreated?
No, absolutely not. There are several symptoms that one gets with varicose veins, and they can range from a sort of a dull ache or pain to itching, heavy legs, swelling. And the problem is, of the quarter of the adult population who develop varicose veins, about 10% of those, if they ignore it, will go on to develop fairly significant complications, such as changes to the actual quality of the skin in the ankles, discoloration of the skin, and ultimately either phlebitis or ulceration, where you get breakdown of the skin. And that's a far harder situation to resolve. So we certainly would promote that people would come forward at an earlier stage, ideally.
And so that ulceration, does that mean if you get a bang or something, they start bleeding? Is that what happens?
Well, that's a complication of anybody with varicose veins, I guess. But actually, simply from having long-standing varicose veins, one develops what's called venous hypertension with sort of prolonged back pressure on the skin of the ankle, which leads to poor condition of the skin, and it subsequently simply breaks down.
And do they only happen in your legs, Gavin?
Yeah, typically, yes. Simply by standing up, the predominant gravitational force affects your ankles.
Okay, so you say standing up there. So people in professions where they're standing a lot, you know, barmen and nurses and so forth.
Yeah, anecdotally, I guess, you know, hairdressers, butchers, shopkeepers, etc. would be fairly common attenders. But as I say, there's certainly a genetic component. So, and affecting a quarter of the adult population, we see all comers, really.
Okay, and what about things like sitting with your legs crossed? Does that give you varicose veins?
No, that's a myth. An old wives' tale, yeah.
Okay, and obviously pregnancy then, it's a big issue as well, that would increase the blood flow, is that it?
In the hereditary situation, what happens is we all have a valve or a junction where the veins from our skin meet our deeper veins, as it were, in the groin. And typically that valve becomes incompetent and one gets reflux of blood back down the veins instead of tracking back up towards the heart in healthy veins. Now in pregnancy, instead of having that fault, one is effectively sitting with a bowling ball in one's pelvis for a few months, and that causes significant back pressure, which can lead to rupture of that junction.
Mm-hmm. If I could go to you, Laura Byrne, you recently had a baby, and is that what caused you to have your veins removed?
Hi, Angela. No, well, I'm one of the unlucky ones in that I have a genetic predisposition. There's several members of my family on both sides now who suffer with bad varicose veins, so we kind of all knew that it was something we might be liable to have to deal with. But it was actually in my 20s where I was travelling around Australia, and now that you mentioned bar work, I was doing a lot of bar work at the time, and I developed a very serious varicose vein on my lower right leg, just below my knee. And of course, you're in your 20s, it's not something you think about, you think it's something you might have to deal with when you're a pensioner. And I kind of just hid it for years. I didn't wear short skirts or didn't wear shorts in summer, and I was very self-conscious about it. But ultimately, there about 4 years ago, I said, right, here goes, I'm going to get this removed. And I had to go in and have an anaesthetic now and have a general anaesthetic and an operation for it. But yeah, it was a relief to get it, to get rid of it. But I think it's probably something I'll have to deal with again because it's so prevalent in my family, you know.
And can you describe the procedure from your point of view, Laura, without getting into too many gory details?
It's a lovely topic, you know, when you're in your early 30s having to deal with it. But I was told by my doctor that mine was too serious. There is a laser option, I believe, for people who have very mild varicose veins, but mine was far too bad for that. So I think they call it, they strip it. This is what they do. So they sort of, I have a little scar now behind my knee, and I went in, I was just in for a day, had a general, and as far as I know, they kind of lift it out and cut it at the back of the knee. So, I mean, I basically exchanged one blemish for another. I exchanged my ugly varicose vein for a not very attractive scar, but I think the scar is healing, so it's something I'm prepared to live with.
And what was the recovery like? Were you out of work for a while?
About 2 weeks. So, I mean, all in all, it wasn't something serious. I was lucky that it was probably just one vein. I mean, there's one male member of my family who has his whole leg is covered in veins. And I guess being a man, he's lucky in that he wears long trousers and it's something he's learned to live with. But I can't imagine what kind of an operation he'd have to deal with were he to have them removed.
Mm-hmm. Gavin, that procedure that Laura's describing there, that's a relatively old-fashioned procedure. I believe there's other ones now that are as effective and less painful.
Well, that's correct, yeah. There are various what are called endovenous procedures or keyhole surgeries that we try to use now in the vascular community to try to solve varicose veins. But that said, it's interesting hearing Laura say that because a HICWA study recently showed, looking back at all vascular procedures done in Ireland in 2011, despite this sort of technology being available for about 10 years, in 2011, the vast majority of vein surgery done in this country was still being done open. So it's taken a while for this to be embraced, and I guess it depends on perhaps the skills of the vascular surgeon that you go to or the surgeon you go to. Hopefully it is a vascular surgeon. So yes, traditionally, as Laura says, the surgery would involve a cut, typically in the groin, but also potentially behind the knee, as Laura describes. And one physically ties the junction, which is faulty, and removes or strips the vein, typically from the groin to the knee. Now, more recently, the technology, as you say, laser, and more recently, again, radio frequency ablation, which is what I use. One inserts through a needle at the knee level a little wire into the vein. You follow it with an ultrasound probe up towards the groin, and essentially one delivers thermal energy through the tip of this catheter, and it seals the vein shut. And that's all done through a needle hole under what can be done under local anaesthetic through the groin. So it's a far more acceptable patient or acceptable
sounds
treatment.
Sounds more humane.
Yeah, it's far less pain, far quicker recovery. I'm certainly striving to do this, as are several of my colleagues, in an ambulatory setting, which means the patient will walk in and walk out and have it done under local anaesthetic, you know?
That procedure, Gavin, that you describe, I would probably be beaten down your door to have something less invasive like that. It sounds a lot less intrusive and, you know, for something so minor, really, it should be something that easy.
Correct, yeah.
Gavin, could I just ask you finally, is this an elective procedure? Are people looking at big bills if they don't have health insurance? Is it something you can get done on the public system?
No, absolutely not. There is no differentiation whatsoever based on whether you're public or private. And it's both national and international guidelines would tell us that this should be adopted as a first-line therapy for all comers with varicose veins.
But do they have to be ulcerated before you can go into the health system to get them done, or can you
No,
just...
No, absolutely not. No, we want to treat these people at an earlier stage to avoid the sort of economic burden of the ulcerated patient.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. Thanks to journalist Laura Byrne and also to Gavin O'Brien, who's a vascular surgeon at the Mercy Hospital in Cork. We'll be back after this.
The Last Word, sponsored by 3 Business, experts in the business of communication. 3, we speak business.